Your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter number 24. And this first Sunday of the new year. And so I've been thinking about that and praying about what the Lord had had me to preach on this morning. And finally got settled. And I believe this is what the Lord would have. Matthew chapter number 24. And we're just going to read a few verses. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. I'll give you just a moment to turn there. If you got a Scofield Bible, it's page 1032. Matthew chapter 24. And let's read verses 15 down through verse number 22. Verse 15 down through verse number 22, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for letting us be here today and hearing the choir sing and being able to participate this morning and just come to worship thee. And Lord, I admit this morning, it's hard. Seems like sometimes for us to just come and get our minds and our hearts off the world and the things of the world and the things that occupy our hearts and our minds throughout the week. Lord, we need your help to walk how we ought to walk and live how we ought to live and be what we ought to be. And Lord, we need your help when we come together to worship, Lord, that you would meet with us. And God, speak to our hearts in the song and in the prayer and in the preaching service. Lord, we ask for your help just now. I pray, Lord, you would speak to our hearts. I pray you would encourage the people of God. And I pray, Lord, that if there's anybody here today that's never been saved, Lord, I pray that you would convict them and show them their great need of salvation. Lord, we don't know what this next year holds. Lord, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. We don't know a lot. We know what the Bible says, but we don't know a lot of details. Lord, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but God, I'm glad that you do. And Lord, I pray that you'd help, Lord, people that are lost to see their need of being saved. And I pray you'd help those that are saved see our need of witnessing to others so that they would hear the gospel and be saved. I pray you'd speak to our hearts just now. Instruct us from the Word of God. And Lord, we remember these things that's been mentioned this morning. Many sick, many hurting, many, Lord, that have just had terrible tragedies in the past week. God, we pray you just be with them as only you can. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We ask for your help just now, and we ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's read verses 21 and 22 one more time. I'm going to take our text from there this morning. The Bible said, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." I meant to read verse 21. I'll just read it before we start. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." And so the subject in the Word of God here that we're looking at, it's talking about the coming time known as the Great Tribulation. I read the comics every day. So most of you know that. That's the most important part of the newspaper. And it's the only reason I buy the newspaper. And then it has some other interesting things in it. But I read the comics every day. And on December the 22nd, last year, just a few weeks ago, 2012, that was the day after the Mayan calendar ended. And you know, everybody, there was a whole lot of talk about, you know, is that going to be the end of the world? December 21st, 2012, Mayan calendar ends. What's going to happen? Great catastrophe, end of the world, all kinds of talk along those lines. Well, the day after that, when the world, of course, didn't end, there was a comic in the newspaper, and it's a comic about a little boy. His name's Leo. He's an odd little fella, and he sees the world different than other people does, and he's walking down the street. And he's got his hands in his pocket, and he looks over in the trash can, and there's a sign in the trash can upside down. And the sign says, the end is near. You know these fellas that walk around with these signs, and they, you know, that's what it is. The sign says, the end is near. Well, he walks on down the street in the second panel, and he looks over at this fella that's just sitting on the sidewalk, kneeled down there, and he's got another sign, and this fellow looks all rough, and he's got a robe on, you know, like he's the one that was carrying that sign, the end is near. Well, his new sign he's holding up, it says this, it's all just going to go on and on, isn't it? I thought that was interesting. I cut that out, and it's all just going to go on and on, isn't it? I don't know if you've noticed, but the world that we live in is just itching for some kind of apocalypse to come upon us. I mean, people are fascinated with anything that has to do with the end of times. Now, they're not fascinated with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not consumed with what the Word of God says, but Hollywood, movies, books, video games, all kinds of things. The apocalypse, Armageddon, this type of thinking towards the end of time. People are doing all kinds of things to prepare for the collapse of society as we know it. You know, television, you know, they talk about all the time these commercials, the dollar is going to collapse and you need to buy gold. Well, I don't know many people that can afford to buy gold, but you know, we're told that things are going to get bad and you need to buy gold to hedge against those days. And if you can't buy gold, buy silver. And if you can't buy silver, buy a lot of guns and ammunition, you know. People are preparing and they got this mindset that things are really going to get bad and that society is going to fall apart. Dad and I, we went to a gun show yesterday, and I like to go, not just to buy things, but just to sort of look what's going on and talk to people, and it's just interesting to me to see the things that are for sale. And I noticed yesterday that there's a lot more than I've seen in the past of survival foods. Gas masks were for sale, Israeli gas mask. You can get one for $45. Of course, that'd be selfish to just buy one for you. I mean, if you bought one for you and didn't get one for your wife, you know, what would that say to her? But you know what I'm saying? People are pouring a fortune into buying things along these lines, things to purify water and stockpiling all kinds of supplies for catastrophes to come. And I don't know if anybody else has noticed, but people are zombie crazy. Everywhere you look, You see things directed towards and people talking about, and this is sort of there's been zombie movies and things like that for quite some time, but now it's a craze. It's craze. People talking about zombies. There's television shows about zombies, and there's movies coming out about zombies. And I got behind a car the other day and it had a funny type of a sticker on the back, and I got up where I could read what it was. It looked like some official type sticker on this car, and I got up close enough and I read it, and it wasn't what I thought. It said zombie response team. Like when the zombies come, they're going to, you know, respond some way. You can buy shirts and you can buy guns that have a zombie hunter engraved on them now. You can buy ammunition. Really, I'm telling you the truth, that is some way zombie hunter, zombie killer, stuff like that. There's all kinds of stuff along these lines, books and video games. Now, zombies are people that are dead, but they're still living. I've got news for you this morning. Zombies have been around for years and years and years. The Bible said in Revelation 3:1, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis, the Lord said to that church, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. That's what the Word of God said. And apostate Christianity is full of people that claim to be living, but the Word of God says they're dead. So there's nothing new along those lines when we think about zombies. 1 Timothy 5:16 or 5:6 says, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. That's a real interesting passage of Scripture. You know, there was a wave of zombies let loose on America the day after Thanksgiving. Did you know that? They call it Black Friday, and that's all them people stayed up all night, and they's going out, you know, must find a flat screen TV. The Bible says that if you are living in pleasure while you're living, you're dead while you're living. And seeking after nothing but pleasure in this world, you think you're living, but you're not really living. And so there's a lot of things that's going on in this world that makes us sit up and pay attention and ask ourselves the question, what in the world is going on? My point in saying all that is to say that we are definitely living in the last days. And Bible prophecy is coming to pass. Every day, things are coming into place. One world government, one world currency, the taking away of people's freedoms. There's many, many things I could mention this morning, but I will say this, it's not going to just go on and on and on. Matthew 24 and verse number 21, the Bible says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, I'm not going to stand up here this morning and say that the people of God are not going to see some tribulation. We could very well see some tribulation. We could very well see some persecution. We could see very hard times in our lifetime, but I am going to stand up here this morning and say that God's people are not going to see the tribulation. Thank God for that. And that's what I want to preach on this morning. I want to preach on the subject of the church and the tribulation. The church and the tribulation. Now, there's some things I want to say about the tribulation when we come to the Bible. I'm not so much interested in what Hollywood's saying. Armageddon, Mayan calendar, Y2K, all that bunch of junk we've heard for years and years. But I am interested in what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says about the tribulation that it's going to be a great tribulation. Bible said in verse 21, talking about the terribleness of the tribulation, it said, for then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. The Bible says that there's coming a great tribulation. And it's going to be such a great terrible time that there has never been a time like this since the beginning of the world. It's going to be a terrible time. And no matter how fantastic that Hollywood can make something, doesn't matter what movie somebody might see about Armageddon or the apocalypse or zombie invasion or alien invasion or whatever you want to imagine, Hollywood doesn't hold a candle. That's really
really going to be. Never been a time of terribleness upon the earth since the beginning of the world. Now the flood was a great terrible time. Now, I don't know, it's hard to imagine, but it would seem to me that when God flooded the world and people fled to the mountains to try to get away from it, and there's no getting away from the flood, they all perished in the flood. That'd have been a terrible time. This is going to be a worse time. When God sent down fire and brimstone out of heaven and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about, that to me, that would be a terrible time. But it's not going to be as terrible as the Great Tribulation is going to be. You read about the captivity when the Babylonians invaded Jerusalem and destroyed it and carried the Jews away, and there was such a famine that people ate their own children. That'd be a terrible time. But it's not going to be as terrible as the Great Tribulation. I have read a whole lot and studied a lot about the World War II and Hitler and the Holocaust and 6 million Jews. They were murdered and burnt and just a terrible, terrible time. But I believe if you studied out, there was really about 18 million people died during the time period of World War II, not just the Jews, but the Poles and the people that died in the war. And so that was the time. But none of those times are going to hold a candle to the Great Tribulation. In the Great Tribulation that's coming upon this earth, the Bible says in Revelation chapter number 6, and we're going to turn a few different places this morning, but I think you ought to turn over there and underline this. Revelation chapter 6, page 1336 in your Scofield Bible this morning. But how bad is it going to be during the tribulation? It's going to be so bad. Now people are doing all kinds of things to prepare for the end of the world. I seen a program on television where people are buying what they call doomsday bunkers. People are buying silos out west where they used to put missiles down into these great big holes in the ground. And now the missiles are gone, and they bought some of these silos and they've turned them into underground condominium survival complexes with water and air and swimming pools, and they spent millions and millions of dollars. All kinds of things like that going on. But look what the Bible says, Revelation 6 and 15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. People are going to go to the caves and the dens and going to crawl up under the rocks and the mountains, but they're not crawling up into there to survive. They're crawling up under there to pray and ask that the rocks would fall on them and kill them and hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. So it seems to me like no matter how much the kings and the great men and the bond men and the free men might spend in order to survive a doomsday scenario, when the tribulation comes upon the earth, they'll wish to God they's dead. And they won't want to survive. They'll want to die. That's how bad it's going to be. There's the terribleness of the tribulation, but there's the time of the tribulation. The Bible said in Matthew 24 and 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. See, God has time for everything. God does things on time. God works on time. He does everything at the right time. And there's an appointed time. And there's a duration of time that the tribulation is going to happen upon the earth. There is coming a time of great tribulation. The Word of God says it. Doesn't matter to me what the world says. This is what the Word of God says. But God has a time from the beginning to the end, and God is always on time, and we ought to take comfort and heart in that this morning. I think about things in the Bible about Jesus and coming on time. You know what? He was born on time. Galatians 4:4 said, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made in the image of man. God had a time. And when the time was come, Jesus was born. And Jesus died on time, John 17:1. Jesus cried and said unto His Father, He said, Father, the hour has come, glorify Thy Son. He knew He was going to the cross. When the time came, He died on time. He arose on time. Matthew 12:40 of the Bible says, 3 days and 3 nights the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth. And you know what happened after the third night? He got up out of the grave. 3 days, 3 nights. And you know what? This morning, He's coming back on time. Hebrews 10:37 said, for yet a little while, and He that shall come will come and will not tarry. That's what we're looking for this morning. He's going to come back on time. But I say all that to point out, and you know, there's a resurgence of the teaching that the church is going to go through the tribulation. I've heard that more and more. These people that think the church is going to go through part of the tribulation, but I want to point out some things this morning. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The church and the tribulation. Now, we're not talking about this morning, does the church deserve to go through the tribulation. We're not talking about what we deserve. We're talking about what the Word of God says. There's more and more people messed up on Israel and the church. And if you begin to think that the church is Israel, you're going to be led to believe that we must go through the tribulation, but the church is not Israel. And Israel is not the church. But there's a lot of people messed up on Israel and the church. And so there's a resurrection or a recurrence of the teaching that the church is going to go through the tribulation. But let's just look and see what the Word of God says. First of all, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. I want to read a few verses over there. And you ought to mark these places in your Bible because you're probably going to be asked about it. Is the church going to go through the tribulation? No, we're not. Number one, because of the teaching of the Scripture. The church will not go through the tribulation because of the teaching of the Scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, but of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye brethren, I like that. What about us? I know about them, what about us? But ye brethren are not in darkness that they should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Praise God, I like that. We're not looking for the tribulation, we're looking for the hope of salvation. And then verse number 9 seals it for me. It says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. That's tribulation. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God is telling us there, we're not appointed to go through the tribulation. That's the wrath of God. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. And I like this. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. We're not looking for a tribulation, but we're listening for a trumpet. That's our blessed hope. Look over, 5 or 10 pages in your Bible there to the book of Titus. 2 Thessalonians, 1, 2 Timothy, and then Titus. So it's just going to be a few pages over in the Word of God. We're talking about what the Scripture says about the church and the tribulation. The book of Titus, chapter number 2 and verse number 11. The Bible said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." That's what we're looking for. That is the blessed hope of the church. We wouldn't have much hope if we was hoping to go through the tribulation. But I'm hoping to be snatched out of here before the tribulation begins. That's the blessed hope of the church. As much as things look like that we are just on the very edge of going into the tribulation, hey, I've got good news. Church is getting out of here first. That's the next thing to happen on God's time counter. I really believe that Satan has enlisted Hollywood to preach the bad news that bad things are coming. Praise God, we've got good news. We're looking for the blessed hope. We're not looking for the tribulation. We're listening for the trumpet. Jesus didn't say where to look for trouble. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." Jesus said, "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you," he said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That's the rapture of the church. I know how it is. People say, "Oh, the word rapture is not in the Bible." The teaching is in the Bible. And the word rapture comes from the word in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 where it talks about we'll be taken away. Be snatched away, taken away, going to disappear. Praise God from this old wicked world. Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, you see over there the seven letters to the seven churches. And what that is a prophetic outline of church history. And it starts with the church at Ephesus. That's the apostolic church. And it comes on down through all of the past 2,000 years of what is now history. You got the Philadelphian church. That's the church of the great revival. Then last of all, you've got the Laodicean church. That's the apostate church. That's the church that's having revival today is apostasy. Not getting closer to God, but going farther away from God and saying, "We are rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing." Isn't that where we are in America? Christianity in America, that for the most part is exactly where we are. But you know what? At the end of dealing with those churches, in chapter 2 and chapter 3, chapter 4 and verse number 1, the Bible said that John said, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And a voice spake unto me and spake like a trumpet, saying, Come up hither, and I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." Praise God, the church goes from earth to heaven in chapter 4 and verse number 1. And then the tribulation comes upon the earth. And so because of the teaching of the Scripture, I cannot believe that the church is going to go through the tribulation. We're not looking for hell on earth. We're looking for a home in the sky. You know what? If you're saved today, this is going to be the closest to hell you ever get. And for those out here that's never been saved by the grace of God, if they die and go to hell, this world and all its wickedness and all its ungodliness, that's the closest to heaven they're ever going to get. So because of the teaching of the Scripture, I cannot believe the church is going to go through the tribulation. Second of all, this morning, because of the types in the Bible. There's many types in the Bible of the rapture of the church. And I don't have time but just to mention a couple of them this morning. But you go, where do you go in the Bible to find a type of the rapture? It's not just a New Testament teaching. But you go all the way back to the very beginning of time. You go all the way back to that first generation of people that lived upon the earth, and one of Adam's great-great-grandsons, his name was Enoch. And Enoch's like a lot of us. He didn't walk with God until after he had his children. I think he was about 365 years old and he had children. And after he had his son, the Bible said that Enoch began to walk with God. And so that having a child straightened him up and he began to walk with God. And boy, he really walked with God. And you know, even in Enoch's day, there was a lot of wickedness and ungodliness upon the earth, and the thing that eventually brought about the flood was already taking place in Enoch's day. But old Enoch walked with God, and the Bible says that Enoch was not, for God took him. And you know what happened to Enoch? Enoch just disappeared from the earth. That's a type of the rapture before the flood. The flood is a type of the tribulation. Enoch is the type of the people of God being taken out before the great tribulation of the flood upon the earth, and the Jew is saved through the tribulation. That's Noah and his family. But the people of God is taken out and disappeared before and not seen again until after the tribulation, after the flood. And I believe we'll still see Enoch on the earth in the days ahead. But anyway, Enoch is a type of the rapture of the church. And then Lot, believe it or not, is a type of the rapture of the church. Now Lot was a carnal. He was ungodly. He lived down there around that crowd and didn't make a difference. A lot like the church today. And Lot didn't deserve it. But God spared Lot. You wouldn't even know Lot was saved except for reading over in the New Testament that it vexed his righteous soul in seeing and hearing what went on down there. But you know what? In spite of that, Lot probably deserved to die down there in Sodom and Gomorrah. The angel of the Lord went down there. You know how the story goes in the Bible. Spent the night with them. And the next morning he hastened Lot. You remember that? And Lot went out and tried to win his son-in-laws to the Lord, tried to convince him. And the angel went to him, and the Bible says he hastened him. He hurried him up. He said, Lot, I cannot do anything till you be gone, till you be come hither, till you get out of here. And as soon as Lot left, the fire fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah. That's a type of the rapture of the church. The wrath of God could not fall upon the righteous. And Lot was rescued that because of the types in the Bible. There's other types in the Bible. Elijah and Elisha's ministry and many others we could mention this morning. But I'm going to go on because of the terminology of the Word of God. You know, we studied in our Sunday school lesson this morning. The devotional reading was out of Ephesians chapter number 5. Do you know what we learn in Ephesians chapter 5 and 2 Corinthians chapter number 11? We learn that the church is the bride of Christ. We're the bride. It's what the Bible teaches us, what the Word of God teaches us. The church is His bride. And it's His desire to present us spotless and perfect before Him. And He will do that. The tribulation is called the time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse number 7. It's not called the time of the church's trouble. It's time of Jacob's trouble. That's the Jew. The church is not going to be here during the great tribulation. One of the greatest pictures in the Bible is over in Genesis chapter number 24. And you are familiar with that, I'm sure, this morning, that in Genesis chapter number 24, Abraham's servant goes out to seek a bride for his son. And Abraham's servant is never mentioned. Abraham's servant is a type of the Holy Spirit of God seeking out a bride for his son. And he goes out and he seeks out a bride. And he brings the bride back home. You remember that? He goes to Jacob's family and he finds her and he says, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she says, "I will go." And he says, you don't need a thing. I've got everything you need for the journey. That was all them camels. The Bible goes on and it says in Genesis chapter 24 and verse number 63, it said, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at evening tide. You know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of the day growing late. And I believe the day is growing late upon this whole earth. And that's a picture of Jesus desiring to meet his bride. And he went out in the evening time. Sun's getting ready to go down, and the sun thinks to himself, it's been a lot of days, and I'm looking for my bride. And I can just imagine that Isaac could go out there every evening and sit down and meditate in the same place. That's been a long time. I'd like to see my bride coming over the hill there. I'm wondering what she's going to be like. I know she's going to be perfect because my daddy. And because his servant knows what they're doing, and they've got a special one picked out for me. And I just wonder what she's going to be like. And every evening he'd go out there and sit down and watch the sun go down. And one day, the Bible says, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Praise God, he knew Rebekah was on there. And the Bible says when she saw him, she lighted down because she had asked, is that him? And they went and they met together. That's a picture of the rapture of the church. That's a picture of the bride meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you something. Why would the Lord put his bride through the tribulation? We're his bride. That wouldn't make for a very good courtship if you went and poured your wrath out upon your bride before you got married. We're not talking about what we deserve. We're talking about the mercy of God. We're talking about what we're going to get because of the grace of God, because of His mercy and His love, and because of what Jesus did for us on Calvary. We're not looking for the tribulation. We're looking to obtain salvation. Final, complete, these bodies being changed to be likened unto His. Not only is the church His bride, but the church is His body. Talking about the terminology of the Scripture. He's not going to beat his body before, but the church is the completion of his body. The church is not going to go through the tribulation. Number four this morning, the reason why the church is not going through the tribulation, because there are two judgments that are going on at the same time in the Bible. The great tribulation is the judgment of God poured out upon this earth. While the great tribulation is going on this earth, there's going to be another judgment taking place in heaven. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. That's where the bride is going. That takes place at the same time as the great tribulation upon the earth. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We are going to be judged, but not whether or not we're saved. It's what we've done in this life. Whether we served God or whether we didn't serve God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 talks about wood, hay, and stubble on one side and precious jewels and gold and silver on the other side. And what does not stand the fire is going to be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. Only what we do for Christ is going into heaven with us. Everything else is going to burn up, not matter a bit, one of these days. It's time that we check our priorities and what we're doing. The Bible said, 1 John 2:28, and now little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. There's going to be people ashamed. Saved people ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. That's what the Bible says. So we're to abide in Him that we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Some people say the church is going to go through part of the tribulation. But you know what? It seems to me like nobody's thought about this, that part of the church is already there. Part of the church, in fact, I believe and I hope that the majority of the church is already there. I believe the majority of the church is already there in heaven. He wouldn't leave half of us here to go through judgment while the other half has already been over there and enjoying the presence and the goodness of God ever since the times of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. But hey, most of the church is already over there. But here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches we're going up together. Now, the majority of the church, those that have died in Christ to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. When our loved ones that are saved, when they die, do you know what happens to them? They go to heaven. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. But 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise God, I like that. What's going to happen? Those that have died are going to receive their glorified body at the resurrection, at the last trumpet. And we that have not died, our bodies, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, they're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We're going up together. We're going to be judged together. We are going to be, the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. We're going to be together forever and ever. And praise God, at the end of the tribulation, Revelation chapter number 19, we're all coming back together. Next time I ride a horse is going to be when the saints of God come back at the end of the tribulation. Because I done told you, I made a vow to God, if He'd let me get off the last one I was on, I wouldn't get on another one. But I'll tell you, I believe that the Lord will nullify that when I have a glorified body. And I'll get on a horse. And the Bible says the saints of God's coming back arrayed in white linen. Clean and white is what the Bible says. And we're going to come back on horses, the Bible says. That's what I'm talking about. We're going up together. Oh, we're going to be judged together. We're going to live together. We're going to come back together. And we're going to enjoy eternity together. Praise God. We're not going through the tribulation to get there. Because that'd be two judgments taking place at the same time. One's for the lost upon the earth and the other's for the saved in heaven. Great tribulation I'm talking about. Number 5, last of all this morning, the reason the church is not going to go through the tribulation is because the tyrant cannot come until the church is taken out. I'm talking about the Antichrist. The Antichrist cannot appear upon the earth until the church is taken out. I don't know about you, but I like all this. I like to think about the Lord coming and setting things right. The saints of God going out of here. Praise God. I want to say I appreciate Preacher Carl and preaching these truths all down through the years. The last time I talked to him, we was talking about the coming of the Lord and the rapture of the church. And he told me that when he was a young preacher and he would preach those truths, that the old preachers would sit there and turn their back on him while he was preaching. Boy, that'd be hard. That'd be hard if you looked out and the men that ordained you and loved you and let you come and preach in their church while you was preaching, they turned around, turned their back on you. That'd be hard. Praise God, I'm glad we've got the truth. We're not looking for a general resurrection and a general judgment. We're looking for the rapture of the church, and there's going to be a tribulation, and the Lord's going to come in glory with all of His saints. But the Antichrist cannot come till the church is taken out. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 7. The Bible says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Look in your Bibles in Ephesians chapter number 6. I want to read something over there. But I'm not going to expound on all that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But what that let will, he who now letteth will let until be taken out of the way. That's talking about the hindering presence of the Holy Spirit in the world. The Antichrist cannot come as long as the Spirit of God's in the world. The Spirit of God is the only restraining influence against evil in the world today. And the way the Holy Spirit of God restrains evil is through His church. We're to be salt and light. We are to be salt and light. And when we lose our power, evil grows stronger and stronger. Thank God for the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit in the world today. You know, the only reason that life can even be enjoyed right now, the only reason that there's any sense of anything being normal, like we think about normal, the only reason we have freedom to come in and out those doors, and the only reason we have the peace that we have right now, is because of the presence of the Holy Spirit restraining evil in the world today. Now, I'm for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, our liberties, our freedoms, but you know what? They're worth nothing if the Spirit of God isn't restraining. Because I'll tell you, the devil would have done away with the people of God hundreds of years ago if he could have. If he could have, but he can't do anything he wants to do, praise the Lord. He can only do what he's allowed to do. And so there's many things falling into place continually, but the devil can only do so much because there's a hinderer. That's the Spirit of God. Thank God for His restraining power in the world today. But I believe with all my heart the Antichrist is alive and well on planet Earth. He's probably born in the 60s. You look back, you study history, and you think about the time of the rebellion that started in our nation, the late 50s, the 60s, and how we've just continually gone farther and farther and farther away from God. I mean, I wouldn't argue with anybody. I'm just saying he's probably about middle age. He's probably somewhere in the world and probably has great influence already, but he doesn't even know who he is, I don't believe. When the Spirit of God takes flight and takes God's children with him, he'll come upon the scene. And there'll be the world will fall down and follow somebody that just comes out of nowhere. They've already done that. Obama, he come out of nowhere. People followed and flocked after him. I'm not convinced he's not the Antichrist himself. But we as God's people, we have a glorious future. We have something to greatly look forward to as the children of God. But what do we do until the trumpet of God sounds? We're not going through the tribulation. Boy, I'm telling you, it could get very interesting before the rapture takes place. What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to live in this wicked, ungodly world that we live in? Look in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12. I'm just going to read a few verses and I'm going to be done. And I'm leaving you with this charge from the Word of God. And starting out the first Sunday in the new year, what are we supposed to do, preacher, in these last days? Ephesians 6 and 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's not the people. Boy, the devil sure uses people. That's where the battle is. People need to be saved. Obama needs to be saved, and his family needs to be saved, and all them, all the leaders around that are pushing our nation in the wrong direction, they need to be saved. People that don't have no sense need to be saved. You say, oh, preacher, I get so mad. I know how it is. People that think zombies are going to invade us, they need to be saved. I'm telling you, there's a lot of spiritual wickedness in high places, blinding people that they cannot see the truth. What do they need? They need the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible said in verse 13, wherefore, this is what you're supposed to do, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand, or be able to withstand in the evil day. Now, that's where we are. We're living in an evil day. And having done all to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's the Word of God. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, that's living right. Living right counts for a whole lot. You study in the Word of God, doing right, living right, being right with the Lord, righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Tell somebody about Jesus as you go. Share the gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith. It's going to be all right. Read the Word of God. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What are you going to do, preacher? Get in the Bible. It'll help you. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation. Do you know you're saved? You're not going to be able to help anybody. You're not going to be able to help yourself if you don't know if you're saved or not. Do you know how many people sit in church every Sunday morning or every few Sunday mornings and they sit and they don't even know that they're saved by the grace of God? I've been there and done that. It's awful. God doesn't want you to doubt whether or not you've been saved. He wants you to know that you're saved. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. How's your prayer life? You know what? It's hard to pray. It's harder to pray than it used to be. Why? Because we're living in a more evil day, I believe. Still, we ought to be praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You know what I've thought a whole lot about? I don't believe, if time goes on, that preachers will always have the freedom to preach like we can preach right now. So I believe we ought to preach right now like we'd preach if it's against the law to preach. Better take advantage of what we got while we got it. Paul said, utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. He was already in prison, but he said that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That's what we ought to be doing in these last days. We ought to be encouraged. We ought to be looking up. Because surely the Lord will come soon. Surely. It won't be long. I've prayed and thought for many, many years and tried to pray this prayer. Lord, please, let me be found faithful when you come. Well, isn't that a good desire? I'd like to be found faithful when I hear the trumpet sound. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed.